Hello, hello. This is Kathavani. Welcome back to this episode of Ramayana, Ayodhya Kanda, episode 19, Crossing the River. Thank you for listening. In the last episode, Rama, Lakshmana and Sita had set up camp on the banks of Ganga. They were welcomed by the Nishadha tribal chief, Guha, a devoted friend of Rama. That night, Rama and Sita slept on the ground on a grassy bed, declining Guha's generous offer of food and comfortable beds. Lakshmana stayed awake, keeping watch and talking to Guha. The next morning, at dawn, as the night sky lightened, Rama listened to the songs of the cuckoo and screams of peacocks marking daybreak. He discussed with Lakshmana about continuing their journey that day by crossing the river Ganga. Lakshmana talked to Guha and Sumatra about arrangements to cross the river by boat. Guha promptly arranged for the best boat to ferry the Ikshvaku prince and Sita to the other bank. Meanwhile, Rama, Sita and Lakshmana finished their morning rituals and prayers on the river bank facing the sun in the east and prepared to start their journey yet again. Sumatra approached these travelers, inquiring about orders for himself. Rama embraced Sumatra, who was ready with the chariot to follow Rama's directives. Rama let him know that while he didn't need the chariot anymore, King Dasharatha still needed Sumatra's invaluable advice and service. Sumatra, who wordlessly witnessed Rama's transformation over the last few days from prince to ascetic, wailed tearfully. "No one could have resolved," he said, "to renounce the world and live like an ascetic like you have, Rama. What use are virtues if this life of celibacy and asceticism are the consequences of your lifelong spirituality, simple living, compassion to all, knowledge of the Vedas, and your steadfast adherence to Dharma and Satya, duty and truth? You, the Videha princess Sita and Lakshmana, deserve to attain the glory of conquering all the worlds, and you are headed to the forest. Meanwhile, though living in comfort, we will struggle and die under the sinful influence of Kaikeyi in Ayodhya." Rama, with a hand on Sumatra's shoulder to calm him, addressed him. "You are an incomparable friend to the Ikshvaku king, Sumatra. The king is under great distress and he needs you, his dear friend and guide, to be near him. Please ensure he does not brood over our separation. Please do things he desires so he does not feel sad or disappointed. Things that please Kaikeyi, if that will make him happy. And do tell him to send for Bharata quickly. Once my dear father embraces Bharata and makes Bharata crown prince, the sorrow of our departure will lessen. Please repeat these words to the king on my behalf. I do not regret the banishment from Ayodhya to live in the forest. Neither do Lakshmana nor Sita. These 14 years will pass quickly and you will see his dear father in Ayodhya. Sumatra, repeat these words to him over and over. Inform my mothers too, including Mother Kaikeyi, about our well-being here in the forest." Rama continued his advice for his beloved younger brother Bharata. "Tell Bharata on my behalf that he should treat all our mothers the same, just like he treats the king with respect and reverence. He should treat all three queens in the same special way. The king wants him to be crown prince and it is his duty to fulfill the king's desires to attain happiness in all the worlds." Hearing these wise words and uplifting messages to the royal family, Sumatra tearfully begged to accompany Rama in his exile rather than return to a desolate Ayodhya and lie to the king and queens or speak unpleasant truths about them sleeping on the ground and walking through the forest without attendants. Sumatra genuinely believed that 14 years with Rama in exile would pass more pleasantly and quickly than a moment in Ayodhya without Rama. Rama encouraged Sumatra to return by adding respectfully, "By returning, Sumatra, you are confirming to my younger mother Kaikeyi that I am indeed in the forest without attendants. You are upholding my father's reputation as a Satyavadi, speaker of truth, once again in her eyes. I am resolved that she enjoys the vast Koshala kingdom ruled by her son Bharata. You are loyal to the Ishvakus. Please take my messages to my father, mothers, and my beloved brother." Rama then turned to Guha and requested sap of the banyan tree so that he and Lakshmana could mat their hair into jata, like ascetics did. Guha procured the needed tree sap and offered it to Rama and Lakshmana, who then matted and tied their hair up in a knot on top of their heads. It is still a custom in India to wear one's hair in matted uncut locks, jata, as a sign of renunciation. The two princes, despite wearing bark clothes with matted hair, still looked majestic. Rama affectionately informed Guha that despite Guha's hospitality, it was only right that they set up hermitage in the forest and adapted to the austere life of ascetics in order to fulfill his father's promise to his mother, Kaikeyi. Taking leave of all who'd gather to wish them a safe journey and return home after the exile, Rama and Lakshmana looked splendid as they walked with Sita towards the waiting boat, wearing their quivers of inexhaustible arrows, their swords sheathed on their hips, carrying their bows in their left hand. Rama helped Sita into the boat first, and he and Lakshmana followed her into the boat, chanting appropriate mantras, ritualistically sipping the Ganga water and paying respects to the mighty river. Guha and Sumatra placed the basket and axe along with Sita's meager bundle of clothes and ornaments in the boat. Rama, the prince turned ascetic, gave orders to the boatman to row swiftly and safely to the south bank of the river Ganga. In other versions of Ramayana, which treat Rama as God, the meeting and farewell between Rama and Guha are described poetically. We will wander briefly through these stories. First, Guha in Sanskrit translates to divinity that resides in the cave of one's heart. The god Guha, also known as Skanda, Kartikeya, or Subramanya, is the presiding god of many Indian indigenous tribes or Adivasis. Adivasi translates to inhabitants from the beginning. The god Guha, also known as Kartikeya, son of Shiva and Parvati, is invoked in the ancient Vedas. In an earlier episode in this series, Rama Lakshmana, along with Maharishi Vishwamitra, visited the holy site and birthplace of Kartikeya at Kamashram. Now, returning to his namesake, the Nishada chief, Guha, who welcomed Rama, and he expressed his wish to wash Rama's feet as a show of respect. Rama embraced Guha instead, treating him as a friend and an equal. Another story describes Guha's devotion and Rama's unconditional and mutual affection for Guha. When Rama took leave of Guha, Guha expressed his desire to see Rama on his way home after his exile. He said, "If I don't see you, Rama, at the end of 14 years, I will give up this life that is not worth keeping without sight of you." Rama, without hesitation, gave Guha his word, embracing him heartily, claiming that they were four brothers as Dasharatha's sons earlier, and now they were five brothers, including his beloved Guha. In another version, Rama was about to get into the boat to cross the river Ganga when the boatman stopped him on the riverbank and said he wanted to wash Rama's feet. The Nishada chief, Guha, looking on, was surprised by this request and asked the boatman the reason for this new practice. The boatman said he wanted to wash the dust off Rama's feet. When Rama remained silent, the boatman continued, addressing Rama. Prince, this is my boat, and I ferry people in it to make money and feed my household. I heard that one time the dust from your feet fell on a rock, and the rock transformed into a beautiful woman. The boatman was indeed referring to the incident when sage Gautama's wife, the beautiful Ahalya, got reprieve from the rishi's curse in Rama's presence. The boatman continued, I can afford the dust from your feet to turn my boat into women and thus ruin my livelihood, causing confusion in my family and add more mouths to feed in my household. Rama smiled, appreciating the boatman's concern and how cleverly he expressed his wish to wash Rama's feet. Rama permitted the boatman to wash his feet before getting into the boat. On the other bank, after crossing the mighty Ganga safely, Sita offered her ring as payment to the boatman for the ferry trip. The boatman refused it, saying, in return for ferrying them across the river, all he needed was Rama's grace to cross the ocean of samsara, or cycle of life. Rama, celebrated in these versions as God incarnate, granted the boatman his wish, thus liberating the boatman from samsara, the cycle of rebirths. The king that Sita got to keep plays an important role later in this story. Returning to Valmiki's Ramayana, Guha and Sumatra watched with a heavy heart as the boat moved briskly, carrying Rama away from them. Midstream, Sita prayed to the river goddess Ganga, also known as Tripitaka, who flowed in three directions, and Bhagirathi, brought down to the earth by Rama's ancestor Bhagiratha. Sita asked the river goddess to bless Rama and help him fulfill his promise to his father. She offered her salutations and promised to worship at all the holy spots and temples along the riverbank after the successful completion of their exile. She promised to donate cattle, clothing, food and sweets per tradition in honor of Ganga after Rama's safe return to Ayodhya after their exile. As Sita and the brothers prayed to the mighty Ganga for a safe journey, exile and a return home, the oarsmen rowed across the mighty river. They soon arrived at the south bank of Ganga. Rama, Sita and Lakshmana got out of the boat and walked up to the forest. Rama observed that they were leaving all the comforts of their known world and all the protections they knew. But alongside Lakshmana, he said he felt safe, as if he had an army with him. He asked Lakshmana to consider Sita's protection, safety and comfort under all circumstances and to be prepared to act quickly. He told Lakshmana to lead the way through the forest. Rama turned to Sita and informed her how they'd be exposed to the difficulties of forest life from then on, without people, farms, or pleasure groves, walking on uneven terrain through inaccessible bush and ditches. Undaunted, they entered the thickening brush of the forest. Lakshmana stepped ahead, Sita followed, and Rama walked close behind Sita. Meanwhile, on the other bank, Guha and Sumatra looked away when they couldn't see these travelers on the bank due to the great distance. Rama, Sita and Lakshmana made their way to a banyan tree and decided to break journey for the night there. They completed their evening prayers as usual, facing the west direction as the sun set, before settling for the night. Rama stayed awake with Lakshmana to stand guard as Sita slept. That night, Rama was distressed about King Dasharatha and his mother Kausalya and how they fared in his absence. He hoped that his departure had satisfied Kaikeyi and brought peace to the king indirectly. He wondered if by indulging in lustful passion, a mental aberration, stronger than the desire to follow dharma and artha, duty, prosperity and purpose, whether the king had brought upon himself so much intense suffering. He worried if Mother Kaikeyi, in her hostile sense of mind, would mistreat Kausalya Devi, his unfortunate and hapless mother. Blaming himself for his mother's sorrow, Rama asked Lakshmana to return to Ayodhya from there so that their mother Sumitra and Kausalya would feel some relief. By following dharma, the right path, I have inadvertently plunged my mothers into an ocean of grief. Lakshmana, return to Ayodhya tomorrow from here. You can protect and comfort Kausalya Devi and Sumitra Devi, who nurtured us unconditionally. Lakshmana agreed with Rama's observations about how distraught their parents would be, how desolate Ayodhya would be, how evil Kaikeyi's machinations and intentions had been, and how unjust the situation had become, caused by the king's boundless passions and imprudent promises. He refused to leave Rama, declaring that without Rama, he didn't wish to see his father, mother, or brother. He soothed Rama, declaring that both Sita and he would be like fish without water anywhere else. Rama's misery was eased by Lakshmana's loyalty and love. The next morning, after their morning rites, they continued on foot walking through the forest. They barely noticed the inconveniences, captivated and diverted as they were by the sights and new sounds along their way. They entertained themselves by identifying familiar vegetation, trees, plants, sounds of birds and small animals. They were heading in the direction of the Triveni Sangam, a confluence of rivers Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. While Yamuna and Ganga flow above ground to this day, Saraswati, the legendary river, is not visible and is considered to have either dried up, flowing underground, or changed course since ancient times. Triveni Sangam continues to be a pilgrimage site across all these many millennia. This region is close to present-day Allahabad or Prayagraj in present-day state of Uttar Pradesh. The Mahakumbh Mela, the holy immersion festival attended by many millions of people to this day, takes place every 12 years in Triveni Sangam. The 12 years is the approximate time it takes the planet Jupiter, Brihaspati or Guru to orbit once around Sun, Surya, and hence this number 12 also has special significance in Indian rituals and practices. This Sangam, coming together of the sacred rivers, was the same auspicious destination of Rama, Sita and Lakshmana. As they approached the Sangam by foot, they heard the loud sounds of the river's convergence close by. Rama noticed the many trees cut by woodsmen in the area, indicating human habitation close by. Soon after, they saw smoke rising from fires of a nearby dwelling, the hermitage of sage Bharadwaja. Despite the din of the rivers, their arrival at the hermitage disturbed the birds and animals settled there for the evening and thereby signaled their presence to the ashramvasis, the hermits living there. Rama, along with Sita and Lakshmana, took in the peaceful scene of the ashram, the hermitage, at Triveni Sangam. They entered the ashram seeking audience with Rishi Bharadwaja, a renowned ascetic who had acquired spiritual insight by practicing sacrificial rites, severe austerities, and intense meditation. Bharadwaja is one of the ancient Saptarishis, the ancient seven sages. This sage advocated for the common people throughout his long life. Sage Bharadwaja is said to have run a hospital or a treatment facility for diseases out of his ashram. His contributions to ancient Indian medicine are mentioned in Charaka Samhita. This treatise, Charaka Samhita, is one of the important ancient texts, a series of volumes about ancient medicine that is used in practice of Ayurvedic medicine still in use today. This work, along with the Sushruta Samhita, another ancient text on medicine and surgery, are foundational books for the ancient and holistic Indian medicine still in use as Ayurveda today. Sage Bharadwaja is also mentioned in Rigveda, the oldest and ancient Indian scripture. The sixth canon or book of Rigveda is attributed to Sage Bharadwaja and his family of disciples. His contributions to Puranas, ancient stories, also provide a clear-sighted insight on the ancient society of these times. He is considered to be the originator of the Bharadwaja Gotra or clan. Nidhi Sastra, a treatise on code of conduct, is also attributed to Sage Bharadwaja. Rama, Sita and Lakshmana bowed low to this scholar and enlightened ascetic, Maharishi Bharadwaja, showing their respect. Rama then introduced himself and Lakshmana as the sons of Dasharatha and Sita, his wife, as daughter of Rajarishi Janaka. King Janaka was also well known for attaining spiritual heights by practicing his dharma as karma yoga, that is, doing action without attachment to the results. Rama explained to Sage Bharadwaja about their banishment from Ayodhya to live as ascetics in the forest. He expressed their intention to look for a suitable place to live in exile in the forest that would also fulfill his father's promise to his mother Kaikeyi. The sage welcomed the travelers with water and offered them the simple food the hermits ate in this ashram. The travelers willingly accepted the hospitality and refreshed themselves with food and rest. Rama then approached the sage and sat by him after his evening prayers. The sage informed Rama that he had known about Rama's exile and their long journey across this great distance over the last few days. He invited Rama to spend his exile in this ashram, away from society, in peace, at this sacred junction of Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. Rama responded that he worried that the villagers that lived nearby may visit the ashram more frequently due to their presence, causing unwanted disturbance to the other ashram vasis. Moreover, since Sita did not have to practice austere living, he wanted to provide her a safe, scenic and comfortable dwelling where she could enjoy herself. The sage promptly responded with a suitable recommendation to meet Rama's preferences that would also please Sita. "We will leave the travelers here, resting in Sage Bharadwaja's hermitage for the night. In the next episode, look forward to stories about Sage Bharadwaja before we accompany the travelers to their next destination. We'll also check on those left behind in Ayodhya. Thank you for listening. Ram Ram."